This interview is with Dr. Gavin Meerdink, Clinical Professor Emeritus with the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine and president of his own consulting firm, Veterinary Diagnostic Investigations. His topic at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture annual meeting was feeding biofuels co-products to livestock, challenges to animal health.
When you start talking about challenges to animal health, there's a negative connotation to that. And I just want everybody to know that my approach is one to inform, because I am a corn producer and a cattle producer, the ethanol plants on either side of me, and I plan to bring my crops there if the price is right, and I fully intend to feed this material. So my main impact here really is to make people aware and try and avoid these things. Second introductory comment, and I'm kind of coming from the field on this, but is to give some examples of some of the confusion that exists out there in the users in terms of the names. What's the difference between DDGs and corn gluten feed and so forth, and try and outline that just a little bit. One of the first issues, though, on the minds of the producers is the variability that is known to occur between plants, and even perhaps between loads from the same plant. And I think that will always be an issue as corn processing evolves and additional higher value components are taken out. But one of the first things that I've run into is the phosphorus issue with cattle rations. Calcium phosphorus ratios are quite important. And you want more calcium than phosphorus. If those ratios become flip-flopped, which can happen if there's enough ingredient in there with high phosphorus, then you get a disease called urolithiasis or kidney stones. I've seen some problems in feedlots with that where quite a few animals have died. The remedy is simple. Keep the calcium levels up high enough so that that doesn't occur. A second one is sulfur. The sulfur levels are higher with DDGs, if we're talking about just the corn product here. And it makes some sense because we've taken two-thirds of the kernel away, the starch part, to ferment into ethanol. So everything else left in the corn kernel is essentially three times higher. So the sulfur levels are higher, of course, in DDGs than in corn, and approach a level where we start to incite a disease called polioencephalomalacia. I don't want anybody to confuse that with polioencephalomyelitis. That's a virus that Dr. Salk made famous. This is something quite different. Polio means gray, encephalo meaning brain, and it's not myelitis, which is an inflammation. It's malacia, which is a softening. And that is essentially a thiamine deficiency. But we also realize that high sulfur levels with hydrogen sulfide or other sulfides can also incite this. So a remedy for that right now, our best shot at, is very gradual adaptation of this, because rumen microbes will adapt and can handle that, but a sudden exposure can bring this on. Also, along with that, and this is not well documented, but we've seen evidence of this, with higher sulfates, we may compound a copper deficiency. Many of these cattle come into the lots low in copper, and again, that's another issue that's easy to correct with analysis of the feed going into them and making sure that there's plenty there. What else might we be concerned about is really whatever else might have come with the corn. Virtually everything that does not go into the ethanol stream ends up in the DDGs, and that would include mycotoxins, and aflatoxin is one of our first concerns. I know of one dairy that ended up with some residues in the milk, and that again can be corrected, remove the source, and those residues disappear pretty quickly. I think we also want to think about ochratoxin, which occurs in some parts of the country and can cause kidney. Another one is fumonisin, and that's not a cattle problem, but it is for horses. So if we do feed DDGs to horses, and I'm quite sure somebody will try that, that is something to be concerned about. Then a few points on the future. Department of Energy put out quite a bit of research money on, well, the so-called cellulosic conversion to ethanol, and want to look at some novel materials, including wood chips and landfill materials, wood wastes, and so forth. Now, agreed, we're many years away from that becoming a reality, if it ever does, but it just adds to the concern that what isn't ethanol, we're going to feed the cattle, or some animal, probably, and what was there that is left, and those things we don't know. The biodiesel issue over on the lipid side of things, I think, is more, we really don't know at this point. I'm not really sure what the products are versus co-products. Most of this, of course, is going to come from soybeans, but any other oilseed source, canola and so on and so forth, and then any other lipid, even rendered animal fats are in that category. That will produce a lot of glycerin. What are we going to use that for? Well, it's a good energy source and will be used, ought to be used, but we're going to have to do some nutritional research to see how that can be used in what amounts and so forth.
That is Clinical Veterinary Professor Emeritus Dr. Gavin Meerdink. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.